person in the chain must be given enough information so that he or she is able to then pass it on to others. I must realize how important it is to do so. If the chain is broken, thousands of people may never learn the truth. So please, expose what you know to everyone you can, but don't try to force it down anyone's throat. Many will not be interested, not yet that is, until they begin to suffer. And you should not waste your time trying to make them listen. There will also be some who will show some interest, but will not quickly rise to the challenge we face. Just tell them what you can. Let them hear any tapes they may find of interest. And then move on while they turn these things over in their own minds. You will have planted some seeds that may bear fruit later, but not immediately. The people you are really looking for are those around you who already realize something is wrong, but may not know what it is. As I can assure you from the thousands of letters I receive, there are more people like this around than you realize. And they are the ones who, once they are told what is going on, will have what it takes to take part in the chain reaction of passing the word. You may be very surprised to discover who these people are also. Often they are not the people you may have heard say much about such things, but are instead quietly simmering with hidden concerns. In them you will discover kindred souls you never suspected, if you will only speak. I urge you, each one of you, to launch your campaign to start a chain reaction of spreading awareness without delay. Time is our biggest enemy. If you tell two people, and each of them tells two, and so on, and if it takes 1 week for it to be repeated each time, it will take nearly 3 months for your chain to pass the mark of 4,000 informed persons. Imagine, 4,000 informed persons. On the other hand, if you can tell three people, and each of them tells three people, and so on, over 250,000 people will be alerted in 3 months' time. So don't waste time, and do tell as many people as you can who will really listen and act about what you have to say. Our secret weapon, so to speak, is to get these chain reactions of awareness ignited nationwide, starting with each one of you. Keep in mind that with these chains, we will also be establishing a word-of-mouth communication network to pass on the latest developments throughout the country, regardless of their suppression by the mass media controlled by the Rockefellers. After we reach a certain point, which can occur within a few short months, if we all faithfully do our part, we the people can have our own independent avenues of communication nationwide. After that, we need no longer be at the mercy of the carefully slanted and incomplete news served up by the Rockefeller dynasty's kept press and electronic media. The chain reactions of awareness are the essential first step in our effort to defend our republic against its attackers. This is also the one thing that each and every one of us can and must do. Do it your own way, but please do it. Pass the word to at least two other people, who will in turn pass it on to others as I have described. With these chain reactions of awareness underway, we can move on to the next step, which will gain in power as our nation is progressively awakened to our common peril. If you are a member of any club, fraternal order, labor union, business association, or any other group that brings you in contact with others, you may be able to get the members of that group aware of the peril that faces us all and interested in doing something about it. Don't ignore independent radio stations either. They can play my tape. Be sure that this is passed on down through your chain to others, too, in case they have access to such groups. And in the case of organizations whose avowed purposes should include activity in this area, find out why the national organization, if there is one, is not doing anything. See if the national headquarters of your club or association can be motivated to do something through prodding from your local chapter. For example, see if they will actively oppose the new Rockefeller Constitution once it is brought to their attention. You may well find that your local chapter of a national organization is ignored and powerless at the national level, that ideas for projects are only supposed to flow down and not up. If so, this is a dead giveaway that the national headquarters, no matter how suave and courteous, has no intention of paying attention to your best interests. Remember, centralized control is a hallmark of the Rockefeller Empire. At this point, the members of your local chapter would be well advised to strike out independently. Do what you as a group believe to be right and necessary, even if this means severing your ties with the national group. Another thing I would suggest is that you establish some means of monitoring for yourself what is really happening in Congress. In particular, find out what your congressmen and your senators are really doing. Judge their performance, not by appearance and their self-serving words, but by their actions. They do lie, you know. What things are they voting for and against? Do they ever speak up to require a roll call vote on major issues? Or do they go along with the crowd on anonymous voice votes that can't be traced? Don't be misled or fooled by cosmetic public relations gimmicks that in no way meet the real needs of responsive government, such as bringing constituents to Washington for well-publicized visits. Monitoring Congress will probably be most feasible if you can pool your efforts with those of a friend or two. In any case, one thing you can do in this regard is to subscribe to the Congressional Record. Many Americans, if they have so much as ever heard of the Congressional Record, have no clear idea what it is. And the number of Americans who actually read it is very small indeed. Yet the Congressional Record is the official publication, printed daily, through which the transactions of Congress are made public. Every day's debates are published a day or two later, and there is a section in the back where individual senators and congressmen can elaborate on their alleged positions. Very little of what appears in the Congressional Record ever makes it into your newspaper, much less network radio or TV news. But if you will read it, you will soon begin to shudder as you start finding out what is really going on. And you will start finding out just what your congressmen and senators are or are not doing. To find out how to subscribe to the Congressional Record, write to the Superintendent of Documents, Government Printing Office, Washington, D.C. Or, if there is a regional office of the GPO near you, you might call them about it. Another suggestion, don't ignore your local and state politicians. They are more accessible to you, and you may be able, especially if you live in a small town, to alert them as one avenue toward uniting your entire community against the menace we face. In doing this, you may also be able to spot potential true leaders who would make good replacements for the non-representatives currently betraying us all here in Washington. As you go along, you will be gradually educating yourself to the true realities of how to get things done. As you begin to coordinate what you are doing with concerned fellow citizens, you will learn many things by trial and error. The power to do comes with the doing. And once you get your feet wet, you will find this is true. The master stroke toward which you and your friends should work, in my opinion, is to place your congressman under the threat of recall. That is, point him out of his soft job that costs you $1 million a year to support before his term runs out, and replacing him with someone who will represent your community. To this end, find out as soon as possible what the laws governing recall in your state and work in that direction. Typically, petitions are involved, and by the time you have put together a citizens group to spearhead the recall campaign against your congressman, the awareness chain reactions I discussed earlier should be bearing fruit. This should enable you to get the petitions you may need as part of the recall campaign. One of the interesting things, by the way, is that if each of you hearing this message gets to work right away, not frantically, not in a panic, but with dedication and determination, and if you work toward the recall objective as it becomes feasible, the entire United States House of Representatives will be in for an electrifying shock at some time in the next several months. If each of you will do these things independently but faithfully, stop and realize what is destined to happen. For a matter of several months, you will each be laying the groundwork, getting your chain reactions going to wake people up, informing yourselves about what your elected officials' real actions are, learning what the procedures of recall are, and organizing to use them. Keep in mind that each of you will be doing these things independently, doing what you decide you should do, your way, based on your own convictions. And yet, there will be a tendency for all these recall drives all over the nation to come to maturity at about the same time. Suddenly, therefore, and with very little warning, smug congressmen, great and small alike, throughout the United States House of Representatives will be served notice by angry voters in their districts back home that they are in deep, deep trouble. This avalanche of recall actions will, quite frankly, be extremely frightening to those men and women in the House of Representatives who have been playing games and going along with the Rockefellers, believing that we would never catch them at it. The Senate, too, will see the handwriting on the wall because the citizens' groups demanding recall of their congressmen can easily band together to demand recall of senators, too. Those congressmen and senators who do deserve to be threatened with immediate recall, and that means most of them, can be required to come home and show cause why they should not be kicked out. Then they can either be sent back to Washington with this sword over their head, knowing that they had better start doing their constituents' will, or they can be ousted and replaced with someone from your own community who will represent you for once. On the other hand, should you find that your district is represented by a rare man or woman who is trying to do what is right, you will have put together a potent force to back them up and to encourage them not to weaken and depart from the straight and narrow under your watchful eye. The effect of all this on the Rockefeller brothers and their henchmen, who are the real enemy, through no fault of our own, will also be devastating. Because, you see, they will be convinced that some centralized, extremely powerful national group has done this. When they discover instead that what has happened has truly developed independently all over the country, they will be completely stymied and justly frightened beyond imagination. They will see that for once there is no single central source they can turn off to stop all this. Instead, they will discover that they are truly confronting the popular desires, awareness, and determination of an entire people, the greatest people on earth, the people of the United States of America. Part 4, the rebirth of our free republic. My friends, I am firmly convinced that the strategy I have outlined can and will work, especially as it is refined and improved in practice by you as you go along. As I said before, I don't pretend to have all the answers, and there may also be some other strategy that would work. But you have asked me, what can I do? And this is my answer. My faith is in you as an individual and in our Constitution. You are a unique, important, irreplaceable individual. And for that reason, my answer has to be what I have said. And what I have discussed so far is a specific strategy by which we, the people, can regain control of the government that belongs to us before it is too late. Assuming that each of us will faithfully do his or her part to accomplish this, there are two phases to the task that lies before us. The first phase is to halt our headlong plunge toward dictatorship and to stop the disastrous actions that are being taken by the Rockefeller brothers and their lackeys. But it is not enough merely to remove that which is evil and destructive. The vacuum that it leaves must be filled with that which is good and constructive. The second phase, therefore, will be to replace the terrible legacy of the Rockefeller brothers with the blessings of freedom that our forefathers intended, and to begin the rebuilding of our true republic. During the first phase, I believe we must blow the lid off the twin scandal that centers around the United States Bullion Depository at Fort Knox, Kentucky. Part of this scandal concerns the theft of America's gold supply and the associated monetary manipulations that are causing economic chaos worldwide. The other, even more serious half of the scandal is that of the insane nuclear super poison processed from plutonium-239. From its place of storage in the central core vault of the United States Bullion Depository at Fort Knox, where America's gold used to be, this horrendous poison is leaking out. As I say these words in mid-December 1975, it is fanning out over the entire southeast of the United States and into part of the Gulf of Mexico, endangering the health and lives of over 36 million Americans. Exposure of the truth in this unprecedented twin super scandal will lead straight into the corruption and treachery in the top echelons of the Congress, the Treasury, the Justice Department, the General Accounting Office, the Federal Reserve System, the CIA, and other intelligence agencies, including the White House itself, fruits of the manipulations of the four Rockefeller brothers and their allies. Also, we should do all we can to block the plans of the Rockefeller brothers to, in effect, shut down America artificially, to kill it prematurely. They are preparing to create havoc in transportation, curtail critical energy supplies, withhold food and other precious commodities from the marketplace. But why should we follow their orders if those orders add up to telling us to commit suicide? No man has the right to do that. And the day may soon come when strikes in reverse, that is, refusing to shut down critical activities, as we may be ordered to do, will be necessary. We must move to reverse the trend toward over-centralization of government, industry, and all other organizations that influence people's actions. Foremost among the centralized devices that must be eradicated outright, not just audited or monitored, is the unconstitutional central banking system controlled by the Rockefellers ever since its creation in 1913, the Federal Reserve System. You may be among the alert, informed Americans who already understand how fundamental the Federal Reserve is to the disastrous situation we now face. I plan to have another message soon that deals specifically with those twin disasters of 1913, the Federal Reserve System, and the federal income tax. We must also eliminate the convenient devices now used by the Rockefellers and their co-conspirators to cloak their holdings in secrecy. There is a great deal that can be done in this area if we, the people, regain control of our destiny. Interlocking directorates, misuse of tax-free foundations, the use of so-called nominees or street names to hold stock, and the surrender of our national sovereignty to multinational corporations are all among the basic problems that must be addressed squarely, honestly, and courageously. And as the bottom line, we must stop the dictatorial new Rockefeller Constitution. Having accomplished phase one, turning the tide against disaster, we will be able to go on to phase two, building a truly bright tomorrow for ourselves and our beloved children. There is a vast amount of creative, worthwhile work to be done in this country. And if we can at last turn our energies to those things, instead of spending our lives on the wasted effort we all endure, thanks to the Rockefeller machine, then there will be work enough and rich rewards for us all. The day can come again when a person can set up shop and produce a unique, new, better mousetrap that will benefit everyone based on his ability to build mousetraps, not his ability to spend half of his time filling out reams of paperwork to the satisfaction of Rockefeller bureaucrats. The day of the individual can dawn once again in America, and our bicentennial can, after all, turn into a joyous celebration as we embark on another 200 years as the world's greatest free republic. Thank you, my friends. Godspeed in the task you have before you. And may we all share in the blessings that our Creator meant for us all. May God bless each and every one of you.